Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is Pesachim Mem Ches, a good night of Shabbos. We are here on Mem Ches Amar Aleph, a bunch of lines in, but let's give some background in terms of what the discussion is going about. We've been, again, originally we talked about the machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Chisda as to whether we apply the principle of Hoel, and that Hoel has many permutations throughout Shas. Basically, since X, Y, and Z could happen, then the action that you're doing, which might not necessarily be mutter, we're going to say that since this could happen, or such and such case could happen, it's going to be mutter. So the rabbi says that we do apply the concept of hoel. And Abaye had asked the following question. He said, the braisa that lists off that if you do a bunch of things with the gidon nasher, right, you eat in bash b'chol, cook it on yantav, etc., all lists a bunch of actions, and says if you do this, so then you are, excuse me, you're chayiv five malkus. Now, the question from that braisa was, if you say hoil, that things are mutter, the last item on that list was havara, was kindling, was lighting a fire on yantif, which is technically mutter for ochel nefesh, because you're allowed to cook. So if you tell me that you're chayev for havara, why is that true? If you're telling me that, according to you, Rabbah, who says that we apply the principle of hoil, since it's mutter to light a fire for mutter cooking purposes, right, here the case is that it's usur, right, what you're doing is cooking bas mecholav, gidanasha, etc. But since it's mutter to light a fire in general, why are you chayev for the havara? So Rabba has said back then, you're right, take out havara, take out the light in the fire, and put in muktzah. Then we asked, what are you saying, muktzah is d'oraisa that you're getting a malchus for? So Rabba had said, yes, muktzah is d'oraisa and you're getting a malchus. So then Abaye had asked the following question, and that's what we're in the middle of. He said, you, Rabba, had said that he had asked either of Chista or Rav Huna, what's the din if you can bring, are you allowed to bring a korban from a sheep that's way outside the city, right? Mistama, that sheep is mukta, it's not going to be either shechted or prepared, right? No one had in mind that sheep should be used on yantif, therefore the sheep is mukta. Are you allowed to use that as a korban? And we brought a pasuk from, where's the pasuk from? I didn't quote it in the Gemara itself, I forget exactly where it's from the Nevi'im, from Yechezkel, quoted in Rashi over here. And it basically explained that you're allowed to bring a korban from a bunch of, you know, things that are mutter for a person to eat. And we had excluded a bunch of other possibilities, right? You can't bring a korban from a bechor. You can't bring a korban from meiser. You can't bring it from a palgas, which is if the sheep is a year and a month old. You're also not allowed to bring wine, nisachim, if it's orla. Right? And basically, the bottom line, we said at the end, you can't bring well, I guess not bottom line, but at the end of that, we had said you can't bring Nisachim from Tevel either. And so you might have thought, says the Gemara, Yachol, you might have thought that you also can't bring a korban if it's Muktzah. So Kamash Malan, so the Braisa had said that no, you are allowed to bring a korban that's Muktzah, because Muktzah is not an inherent Isser to the item itself, meaning it's an outside Isser, that's a time-bound mitzvah, Isser, right, that's going to be mutter in, you know, 12 hours or so. So that's, the Isser is not inherent to the item, whereas, for example, Tevel, if you haven't separated Trumas or Maestros, so there's a problem inherently in the food. By Muktzah, the sheep is not Usser, there's no problem in the sheep itself, it's just, it happens to be that it wasn't set aside for Yontif. So there's an outside issue over there, and that's not included in the Isser of, you know, in the problem of bringing korbanos that are not able to be eaten, that are not mutter to eat. So Abaye had asked Rabba, if you tell me that muktzah is d'oraisa, what's the difference whether it's an inherent Isser or not? If it's a problem, it's a problem. If you're telling me it's a din d'rabbanan and Chazal said you're not allowed to eat the sheep, so fine, I understand why the sheep is mutter to use as a korban. But if you'll tell me that's an Isser d'oraisa, so what's the difference? What nature of Isser it is? The sheep is usur to eat. It's your usur to use it, usur to touch it. It's an Isser d'oraisa. So that's what we basically finished off with yesterday. So we are second wide line, va'od. And Abaye asked another question on Rabbah as well. He said, va'od, and further, right? You're also the person who said that chilik malachas b'shabbos v'ein chilik malachas b'yantif. That means that if you do one action and you violate two separate malachos on Shabbos, for example, over here, let's say lighting a fire and cooking. So you would get two separate sets of malchus on Shabbos. But here, right, on Yontif, that's not true. Right, on Yontif, it's not true. So if you're dealing with, again, if you're telling me it's a din d'oraisa, muktzah is a d'oraisa, so you're doing one action that involves cooking and mukta, right? I guess because we took out lighting a fire, and that's probably a bad example. But if you're doing one action that involves two malachos, quote unquote, there's no chilik malachos by yantif. You don't split the malachos on yantif. If you do one action with two malachos on yantif, so then you only get one set of malachos. So how would you tell me that you could add in mukta, right? Seemingly, you shouldn't get, according to you, Rabbi, you wouldn't get an extra set of malchus at all. So Rabbi would say back to him, you're right. Ela ape kavara ve'ayel ate ashera. Fair enough. We're going to take out havara, our initial havamina of including lighting a fire in this action, and you put in ate ashera, that the etzim, the wood that you're using, is a vodazara, ve'azara me'acha. This is where you see that it's also a vloy back beyond chama uam and a chayrim. You're not allowed to take anything from chayrim. You're not allowed to take anything from something that's usher, something that's banned. That's i.e. avodah zarah. So that would be another malchus. So that would be five. So I'm really ravacha brederova la'avaye. 1 second. He said if you're including atzei asherah, so v'nokunami misham lo savitor yavah le'vesacha. Right, that would be six. Right, you should also be getting malchus for the isser of bringing in a toy into your house. If the atzei asherah, which is an avodah zarah, right, that's the isser here. So it's not five; it's six. Right, there should be six malchus you're getting. So Ella, so he says you're right. Apik avodah v'ayel atzei hekdesh. Really, no. So it's not atzei avodah zarah, but it's itzim of hekdesh that you're not allowed to use. V'azarah miyacha. Right, from over here it says v'ashirayem tisrufum be'esh v'lo sasun kein l'shem elokechem. Right, don't burn hekdesh. Right, you have to burn the asherah, the avodah zarah. Don't burn something that belongs to Hekdesh. Okay, and so that's where that back and forth ends. Okay, Amar Rami Bar Chama. Now again, we had this whole machlokas between Rav Chista and Rabo as to whether we say Hovil. If you remember back in our Mishnah on Mem Vav, we had another machlokas. Right? How do we start this whole thing? So if you flip back to the Mishnah, right, the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. How do you take challah that's tameh on yontif? Because again, things that are mutter for ochon nefesh is malachos are mutter on yontif for ochon nefesh, right, for anything you can eat. But challah, which normally can be eaten by kohanim, if it's tameh, it cannot be eaten for kohanim. So how are we going to allow you, right, to bake and cook and lechora bake challah or separate challah on yontif? What are you going to do with it, right? If you don't bake it, right? Again, the initial problem was it's going to turn into chametz. Right, if you take out dough and just leave it there, so mistama, if you let it sit there, so then it's going to rise and turn into chametz. So Rabbi Eliezer said he had an idea that you could bake it and then take the challah. Instead of separating the challah when it's still in dough and putting it aside, you could bake it and then take the challah from what was baked. Rabbi Yeshua had said no, because you don't have to worry about challah whatsoever. Because what's the Isser by Rabbi Matzei? It's owning chametz. Well, the challah that you separate for the kohen is not yours. And neither does it belong to any specific kohen. So there's no Isser. Leave it on the side. And if it turns into chametz, it turns into chametz. It's not owned by any single Jew. That was the machlokas in the Mishnah. Now, the Rami Bar Chama says that maybe this is the same machlokas. I'm Rami Bar Chama, Hadar of Chista, Rabba, machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua. Maybe it's the same machlokas. Rabbi Elazar savar amir and hovil. Rabbi Yeshua savar lo amir and hovil. Rabbi Elazar says we do say hovil, i.e. Now this hovil is not the hovil we've been talking about before. As a background, there are two ways that a person is able to separate challah. We kind of mentioned this, but let's just to say it clear. Right, you can either take a piece from each, loaf, or you could take. You know, and again, that's, you know, that you would take off from the dough beforehand, or you could take, after you bake it, you take all of the loaves and you put it in a basket, and then you take one loaf off. Instead of taking a little piece from each one, then you take one loaf off from the entire, group of loaves. So, the whole is since you could separate challah from each loaf by itself, says Rabbi Elazar, theoretically, then you're allowed, therefore, to bake them all together and take it afterwards. Meaning, lechora, what's going on over here? You might have, since each loaf has some part of Isser, right, something that you're not allowed to cook, right, you might have thought, right, once you set aside something as challah, you're no longer allowed to bake it. Right, so should lechora be usher to bake it? Rabbi Elazar says no, that you can bake it all, and then take the challah afterwards, since you could have taken challah from each loaf, right? Even though you're gonna take the challah afterwards, right? After you bake it, since you could have taken it, you take a little bit from each individual loaf. So then you're allowed to bake it and then take one loaf afterwards. And Rabbi Yeshua says no, that doesn't work at all, right? Meaning you're not allowed to bake all of the loaves and then take one afterwards, because mistama, then what did you do? You ended up baking one of the loaves that was usher, that was going to be challah. Right? According to Rabbi Elazar, everything that you put in the oven, l'chora, is edible, right? Since you could have taken off the challah, right? So then l'chora, everything that you put into the oven is edible. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, because what's going to happen? You're going to take the challah afterwards, and it turns out that one of those, I don't know, 20 rolls that you put into the oven was not mutter for you to bake. So that's why we align those two machloksim. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't say hoil, and therefore like you can't bake it and then take the challah afterwards. Rabbi Elazar says we do say hoil, and therefore you can bake it and just take the challah afterwards. So Amar Rav Papa said no, that's not true. If Dilma Kan Lo Kamar Rabbi Elazar Hasam, right? Maybe Rabbi Elazar only says his shita over there, Damrin and hoil. Meaning over there we say hoil, right? Because what's over there? By the case of the bread, when you put each individual loaf in the oven, so each one is theoretically able to be eaten, right, by the guy who's baking it. Right now, but over here, what's the case over here? That hoil ve'ikle orchem, maybe, right, when you're baking at the end of Yantif, maybe orchem will come, right, and maybe the food is fit for the orchim who come, but not for the person himself, because the person already ate, he doesn't want any food. Right? He has no reason for him to eat at all. So then, maybe he would not agree that you would say hoil by the case of cooking food on Yontif, right? Toward, you know, at the end of Yontif, right? We say that was the whole problem. That's what we started with, right? Can you cook from Yontif to Chol? Well, you can't cook from Yontif to Chol, but what about Yontif to Shabbos, right? Maybe since guests can come, so you can cook on Yontif. Okay, right? That was the whole discussion. So maybe Rabbi Elazar would not extend his hoil to the case over here of hoil by Yontif. And the same is true of Rabbi Yeshua. Amar Rav Shisha Breder Rav Idi V'dom Alohi. Maybe it's not true that Rabbi Yeshua would only not say hoil in his case, but maybe he would say hoil by the case of Yontif. Right? I'd kind of look, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Hasam D'lom Rinan Hoel. Why does Rabbi Yeshua does not say hoil by the case of baking the challah? Because Ela D'ika Chada Lo Chazia D'lo L'Dev L'lo Orchen. Because inevitably you're going to end up having one roll, one loaf, that's not able to be eaten, right? You designate it as challah after the fact. Okay, this roll is not able to be eaten by anybody. It's tameh, right? No one can eat this stuff. But maybe Rabbi Yeshua would agree that if someone can eat it, like the guests, in this case, on Yontif, by cooking Yontif, so then perhaps he would apply hoel. Okay. Amruah Rabbanan commanded Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yirmiyah Kibble, Rabbi Zera lo Kibble. So the Chachamim said this, you know, Rami Bar Chama's hashva between the two machloksim, and there's a machlokus whether he was right or not. Right, again, like we just had in the Gemara, right, where there's logic to say both ways. So Rabbi Yirmiyah liked it, and Rabbi Zera did not. Amruah Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera, Milsa the Kashi Lan Ve'asi Kamashanim. Right, this was such a difficult kasha. Right, we had such a problem with this for so many years. My pligi, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, what's this machlokus in our Mishnah between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua? And Ashtam Ram, Shmei the Gavarabba of Lok Nikable. Right, now finally we heard an answer. You're not going to take it? Right, what's wrong with this answer? We've been waiting years, right? The big Musa, right? They've been waiting years for an answer in the Torah and Halacha to understand something. Okay, sometimes it takes years. But we finally heard a good answer, and now you're not going to take it. So Rabbi Zera said back to him, "Hey, Chayakable, what do you want me to do? How can I accept this?" Tanina, because we learned in a brisa, Amalei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said again, back to Rabbi Elazar. We don't have this in the Mishnah, but we said in the brisa, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Elazar, "Ledvarecha, according to your logic, right, that you can bake all the loaves and then take challah afterwards, are they over? Mishum lo sasa kol malacha. Right, you're violating this from malacha. Right, again, because lamaisa, one of the things that you're baking is not the tzarech yontif, so you're going to violate the isra malacha yontif. V'shazik lein, Rabbi Elazar didn't say anything back to him. V'i isa, and if you're telling me that Rabbi Elazar holds of hoil, why didn't he say to him, well, yeah, I hold the concept of hoil tells me that we don't violate that isra. And Amalei, well, so Rabbi Zeir, I said back to Rabbi Zeir, well, but the Tamei, according to that logic, right, if you tell me that the proof is by omission, right, from the fact that Rabbi Elazar didn't say back, oh, I hold of Hoil, therefore that can't be his reasoning, well, we have another Brisa that also doesn't mention a response on the flip side by Rabbi Yeshua. You can't learn anything by omission. That's what Rabbi said back to him. Amalei said, Litamei, according to that logic, we learned in our Brisa, Amalei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said back to Rabbi Yeshua, that Dvarecha, according to your logic, that what do? What does Yeshua say? I mean, his shita is that you take challah and you leave it there. You don't have to worry about it. It doesn't become chametz. And even if it becomes chametz, it's not a problem. It's not an issue of bayir al bayim matzei. So according to that logic, harayu over mishul bayir al bayim matzei. You do bayir al bayim matzei because lamaisa, that's your bread. That's your dough. And Rabbi Yeshua didn't say anything back to him. So achanami below hadulei. Well, why didn't he respond to him? Meaning, he could have just said back to him. So why didn't Rabbi Yeshua say back to him? He responded to him in our Mishnah. Right? And what was the logic of Rabbi Yeshua? He said, like, lo zeo chameis shem uzar na lav shem bayir abayim matzei. But he said, no, you don't violate bayir abayim matzei. It's not your dough. It doesn't belong to anybody. Wait, you can't prove to me anything by omission. Maybe he responded to him in a different brisa or in a different mishnah. Just like Rabbi Yeshua responds to Rabbi Elazar in our mishnah, even though the question from Rabbi Elazar is in the brisa, it could be this is some other piece of literature that we're not quoting that Rabbi Elazar said back to him. So you can't tell me that, oh, since he didn't say my logic, my reason is hoil, right, that doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't hold, that the reason is hoil. It just could be that it's missing, it's absent from that braisa. Okay, fine. Tanya ruled in a braisa. Rabbi Omer Halacha, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Halacha, Ben Becerra. Right, if you remember, Ben Becerra was the middle shita. Ben Becerra was, just flipping back, just to quote it properly. Right, Ben Becerra says, Tatil Betzonen. If Rabbi Lezer said to leave, don't take this name of challah, don't call it challah until after it's baked. Ben Becerra said, just you can separate the challah, just leave it in cold water, and that won't make it chametz, and then you'll be fine. So the Gemara says, jumping off of that point, the chameshir isa, how much dough is a person allowed to knead on Pesach before we're concerned that it's going to turn into chametz? So Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, bechitin kabin, v'seorin shloshah kabin. If it's wheat, meaning wheat flour, so then it's 2 kav, and if it's seorim, then it's 3. Apparently because barley turns to chametz slower, so you can work more of it. Okay, could be. Rabbi Nasa Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar, chiluf ha-dvarim. He says, no, the opposite is true. Apparently barley becomes more, right, chametz more quickly than wheat. All right. Fatani, then we learn the brisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Omer, bechitim shlosha kavin v'seorin arba'a kavin. Right? Didn't you tell me that the shirim are bumped up a little bit? Either 3 kav for wheat or 4 kav for barley. The Gemara says, "Lokasha, ha bechasichta, ha b'mal yasa." Depends on whether you're dealing with good grain or bad grain. Right? The second brisa is lousy grain. The first brisa is good grain. Again, and apparently good grain, turns to chametz faster. Okay, I trust you. And that's the difference in the brises. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, Shmami, now apparently what you see from this, Gerin in chitei chasichta v'chitei malyasa. Tfei, meaning the bad wheat to good wheat is... Sorry, let's just finish the line, right? Tfei mi garin in sori chasichta mi sori malyasa. Right, what's the difference? What do you see the increase, right, between good wheat and bad wheat and good barley and bad barley, right? The lahasam tilsa v'acha riva. Right, the increase in wheat is 2 kav to 3 kav, so that's a third, right? By barley, it's 3 kav to 4 kav, so that's a fourth. So apparently you see the difference, the gap between good and bad produce is more, I guess, more relevant and more important in the case of wheat because, you know, it's that's already a third as opposed to a fourth. Okay, fine. Amar Rav. Rav says, Kaba milugna the pischa, v'chein l'chala. This kavin that we said, that's a measurement, right? So a kav, that's the kav that they used in the city of Milugna. Apparently that was the... That's the measurement that we're using. And so too by challah. Again, you only if you have a kav of flour, so then you have to take challah. So too by when we're talking about chametz, right? It's a kav of dough. It doesn't say wheat or barley, but a kav of whatever you're using. That will, that's the max that you can use before the dough is going to turn into chametz. Didn't we learn that the shear for challah is not a kav, but a kav and a fourth, meaning 5/4 of a kav, which is 1 1/4? So isn't that the shear? So this is what he meant. Kava milugnoi nami ahai shira koi. That the kav, what he meant to say is that the kav from milugna is 1 1/4 kavim of somewhere else. I'm not sure where, but I guess, oh right, Midbariam, right? There's a whole, is it the whole discussion over there? What exactly, right, the kav changed size, if I'm not mistaken. So the regular meaning, the Lamologna kav was bigger than the regular kav, and that's what the shear is. Okay, and therefore there's no stira, right? It's 1 1/4 kav, regular kavs, or 1 kav. In general, practically nowadays, if I'm not mistaken, the minig is it 5 pounds? I think 5 pounds of dough. I'm not sure. I haven't made challah ever. I don't think. Maybe I made it once, but I think if I'm not mistaken, the shear is about 5 pounds. Okay. Fine. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, "Hani nashi didan nog lemefa kafiza kafiza lepischa." Our women use a kapiza at a time, meaning they don't bake with a kav. A kapiza is 3/4 of a kav, so therefore they're careful not to come up to that kav limit, meaning they make smaller doughs. They make smaller doughs than the maximum shear, just to be careful to make sure that there is no chametz issue. So Abaye said, that's great, but what are you thinking? Right, lechumra, that's you're going to be machmir to make sure the dough doesn't become chametz. So chumra does it kula. Right, that chumrah turns into a kula because I'm afkam lemichala, because now you're not separating challah. Right? You're keeping it under the shear for challah. Meaning, if you brought it up to that shear, right, the maximum shear of dough you're allowed to prepare is a kav or a kav and a quarter, depending on what measurement you're using. That's also the shear for challah. So the chumrah thing to do is to prepare that amount and take challah, and you know that's also good enough because you have to be careful about it becoming chametz. So it's under the threshold for a dough that will become chametz, that you can easily deal with, right? And then it won't become chametz. And you also bring challah. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, if you take less than that, so now you're removing the challah aspect, right? The mitzvah here of bringing challah. And that's I heard many times from my Rebbeim that very often, right? If you're going to take a chumrah upon yourself, make sure there are no kulas attached to it. Right? Very often when a person decides to take out a chumrah, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, there are a lot of different hechsherim. So if a person decides, I'm not going to eat Heksher X, for whatever reason, and okay, but your in-laws do eat Heksher X, and it is a good Heksher, technically, right? I'm not talking about if it's not a good Heksher, but it is a good Heksher, but you decided to be Machmir and not eat it, so now what? You're not going to go to your in-laws, and you make your wife all upset, and you lead the show and buy it. Meaning every chumrah that a person takes on very often ends up with a kula in a different realm of halacha. So just to be careful where a person wants to be more frum, quote unquote. But either obviously to keep halacha you should be frum, but meaning to be frum, as they say, is not always advisable. So so Rav Yosef said back then, Ka'adam Rabbi Elazar. No, you're right. It's no problem because what do? They just do like Rabbi Elazar suggested. Right, Rabbi Elazar, Omer Harodah V'notel Asal. Not the Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, but Rabbi Elazar says by challah that if a person takes out loaves of bread and then you throw them in a basket, even if the doughs themselves were less than the shear, so Asal would start from the challah. The basket is going to combine them, and then you need to take challah from the basket. Remember, Rav Yehuda, Mishmuel, Lach, Rabbi Elazar, and the halacha is like that. So therefore, that's what they would do. So Amalei, V'ayit Marallah, one second. But it was said about this halacha, Amar Rabbi Yishuv and Levi, Lo Shana El Kikar Shal Bavel. That's only with these Bavel, the Babylonian doughs and breads, right? Shanoshko Zubazu, which literally, Noshek means to bite, but it means that they're a little bit doughy, that they stick to each other. So that's why they combine, because they're sticking to each other. That's why they combine to the shear of challah. Avin, or Ba'achin? I thought it was Avin. Okay, when I read it the first time, I thought it was Avin. Either way, it means long, or thick, Right? It means if you have long doughs that don't touch each other, right? You, let's say with a harder crust or whatever, so then they don't combine to for the shir challah. So Gemara says, "Hayit mar Allah, am Rabbi Chanina, afilu ka'avin." He said, "No, no, no." He said, "No, Rabbi Chanina said even doughs that don't necessarily touch each other are still going to combine for the shir for challah, and then you can take challah from that, and therefore you're not missing out on the shir challah if you prepare dough that's less than a kav." Right, because you still couldn't do the mitzvah of challah, and that way you can also avoid the problem of chametz. Bar Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following question: Tavlosh ein la lives. I don't know, even levizbazin. Sorry, what that means is a rim. Let's say a basket does not have a rim. So what's the deal? Meaning, does that combine the two? And toch mahu, what's the din? And toch kli be'inan ma'aleka, odilma avir kli be'inan v'ha'ika. Right? Do you need it to be mamish inside the kli? And apparently you don't have that. Or odilma avir, oh, I think it's a flatter kli. It's more like a plate. It doesn't matter. So you don't really, it's not really inside, let's say, the plate. But odilma avir kli be'inan v'ha'ika. But it's still technically in the airspace, right? Because the plate does go up on each side. But you don't really have a rim, right? You don't have like a tie, it's not a proper bowl. So what's the deal? Does that combine? So the Gemara says, Teku, Tishbi, Taris, Kushu, Zubayo, so the Yonavi will solve the forest. Tanya will under a bracer. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, Sal Metzarfon, a basket will combine them. Rabbi Shua Omer, Tanu Metzarfon, the oven will combine them. Rabbi Shua Gamliel Omer, Kikar Shalbava, Shmelshko, Zumazum Metzarfos. That's already three different shitas in terms of what will combine, if whether it's the basket or if it's the oven, or only if they're touching each other. And Rashi points out that even if they're not, right, but meaning, I don't know, meaning that's meaning if they're not, right, again, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel requires them to be touching, just like we said, Rabbi Shimon Levi also requires them to kind of be gooey and stick a little bit to each other. All right, let's do quickly. Shabbos is coming, but let's do the next Mishnah. Get to the next Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, not Shalosh Nashim Loshos Ke'achas. Rabbi Gamliel says, and what is the procedure for making dough, or let's say matzah, on Pesach? So he says that three women can knead their own dough at the same time. And they can bake in the oven one after the other. Meaning we're not concerned that the doughs are going to be waiting outside and they'll turn into chametz. We're not concerned. The Chachamim Omer, the Chachamim say, no, we are concerned. Shalosh Nashim Oskos Bebatik Ke'achas. Three women can be, if you have three women kneading dough at the same time, they have to do this. Achas lashav, achas orechas, achas ofer. One is kneading, one is kind of molding or shaping the dough into whatever she wants, and one is baking, meaning you can't have just dough laying out and waiting to go into the oven. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo kol neshem, lo kol etim, lo kol tanuim shavin. What are you talking about? You can't make general blanket rules. Not all women, and not all dough, and not all wood is the same. Right, you have varying levels of heat and varying types of chametz, right? Again, we just said you have dough that's made out of how much barley, how much wheat flour, is it too much, is it too little, or what's the shear? So you can't just make a blanket rule, says Rabbi Kiva. Zeh klal, and sure enough, the Mishnah does make a rule, right? But not about this, right? It says a different rule. Tafach, or tifeach, not sure. Either way, if the dough is starting to swell and turn into chametz, so what do you do? What do you do to save the dough? Tiltosh betzonein, right? A woman should put cold water on it, and that will hopefully slow down the chametz process. Tanur Rabbanan went under by Lasha hi mekatefes. If she's kneading the dough, then she shapes it. V'chaverta lasha tachtea. Someone else goes and takes the kneading post. And the katefes, you have three posts. You have kneading, you have shaping, and you have baking. So once the woman has moved on from kneading, so then someone comes in and takes her post and she starts kneading her own dough, and the woman moves over to start shaping the dough. I guess putting into challah, braids, whatever. I guess it's matzah, so whatever. The katefes, once the woman who is kind of making the dough, changing, making the shape, then once she's baking, then chavertam katefes tachtea. Then the woman from the first station moves on to the second station. Vashlishis lafa. Then the third woman can go into the kneading station, she can start kneading. Ofa hilasha, once the first one has done baking, she again goes back to the beginning of the aisle, right? You can imagine it's an assembly line, right? V'chaverta ofa tachtea, the woman, right, who can then throw it in the oven, v'ashlishis mekateves, and the third one can start shaping the dough, v'choseres chalila, right? And it's basically an assembly line, right, in that three stations, and you just kind of keep on rotating, and kol zman she'oseket b'batek, enu b'alei d'chimutz, as long as they're dealing with the dough, so it's not going to turn into chametz. Rabbi Kiva, my local anashim, right, and not everything is the exact same case. How could you make a blanket statement? Tanya will end the brisa. I'm Rabbi Kiva. Danti lefnir am Gamliel. I said the following, or I asked the following din. Right, I was schmoozing with in halacha with Rabbi Gamliel, asking the following: Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Rebbe teach us. Benashim zrizos or benashim zainos zrizos. Are the women themselves careful about the halachas of chametz and dough rising, etc., or not? Beitzim lachem or beitzim yaveshim. Is it wet wood? Is it dry wood? Is the oven cold? Or is the oven hot already? So I'm relieved. He said to me, "In the chalal mashe shanu chachamim." All I got for you is what Chazal said. Zeklal tefach til tosh betzonin. Right, if it starts becoming chametz, so throw it in cold water. Meaning, they didn't make any stipulations. Right, all they did said was, "Here, listen. If the dough starts rising, so then put it in cold water." So too. So I'm going to also say the same thing. Meaning, no stipulations. Like, women can, you know, they can do it all at the same time. Right, but if you see that there's an issue, so deal with it. But I'm not going to start, making a whole process. Right, that's what Rabbi Gamliel said back to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Shkoda Kol Rabosei. Have a great Shabbos, and we'll go right to the Halakha Shas next week.